Dirt roads to rock crawling, two-buck chuck to screaming eagle, moonshine to 50-year-old single malt. We talk about it all here on Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey with your hosts, Jason and Chris.
Welcome to Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey, episode 85. Chris here in the studio, and we did another remote podcast.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good?
I'm good.
Lorenzo, wake up.
Jeez, he's out.
I mean, seriously, dude, I don't know.
He's been sending us on all these missions, and he hasn't really stepped up to the plate
himself. He hasn't even helped out. I mean, we put in hours and hours of travel time the last few weekends.
Yeah.
Trying to wrap up the year with a bang, getting prepped for KOH.
Right.
Although Kevin Jones doesn't like the word prep, so no. I don't even know what we say anymore. What do I do with my hands?
Just take it apart and rebuild it.
I'm working on stuff to go to KOH.
Yeah.
We're recording stuff to go to KOH.
That's right.
To record on the lake bed.
We're going
to
be recording live. On the lake bed. Oh, yeah. Well, it won't be live. We'll be live.
Well, I mean, remote. On remote. I always right. have trouble with that because we're not syndicated radio deal.
No, right. But the buildup, the anticipation, the excitement is ramping up quickly.
I mean, how cool is this? So we interviewed Kevin Jones.
Right.
Followed up with him. That was the second podcast with him.
Right.
Amber Turner.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Amber the Hammer.
Yep.
I mean, need I say more? She kicks ass and takes names.
Yeah, she's a pretty big
and
deal.
And she does it with a smile. That's the great thing. Now we got Will Speck Garage coming up, part two of the EV build.
That's EVE. Right. EVE.
Electric Vehicle Experiment.
Right.
And I got to tell you, these guys are inventing shit every day
oh
to make
God.
This thing happen. And then nothing's going to please me more. To see all of our drivers. I call them our drivers.
You're right.
And we also got Justin Hall coming up here too.
Yeah.
But and Arturo, we're going to talk about Arturo in a minute.
Yes.
But I nothing pleases me more to see all these teams get to the start line.
Yeah.
And take off from the start line.
Absolutely.
After that point, it's in the Hammer God's hands.
That's right.
But there's a shit ton of getting to that point. I want to say preparation, but Kevin Jones is scarred me.
This isn't his episode.
No,
so
it isn't.
Say it.
Okay, so all this preparation,
yeah,
to get to that moment,
right,
in time. And I love, you know, last year being media and being damn near face to face,
yeah,
without a mask. Non-COVID years.
Non-COVID.
We're going to call this before COVID. BC. Before COVID. You know, and seeing the look on their faces and the determination and all that preparation has culminated to that point.
Right.
To get that car and their crew to the line to take off at KOH. And that's the story we've been telling here with all these different teams.
Exactly.
And it's been fun.
Exactly. Crazy.
It is crazy, and it's really crazy for them. We've been working our asses off getting this all these different podcasts together. But,
yeah.
I mean, the late nights in the garage, you know, again, preparing for the race.
Well, you got to think. I mean, look at how do they psych themselves up, you know. I mean, it's just, I mean, because it's like, look at, you know, if we could talk about Kevin Jones. I mean, he's kind of a one-man band. I mean, yeah, he's got his family support. His father lives close by and can jump in there and help out. But, you know, and he transports his transmission and all of his bits
different
locations to get them worked on and rebuilt.
The power steering sent out, the shocks, you know, whatever.
Right. You know, there's I would think that on the bulk of the teams that go or the bulk of the racers that go to KOH are you know, similar to Kevin Jones. It's the one
band
in the air. They're not all the Gomez brothers with the big custom garages and, you know, and the Campbells and so on and so forth. So
Levi Shirley.
Right.
I mean, you got to respect those guys. I mean,
exactly.
they work to get to that point too, but
I'm not
discounting those at all, but the common folk.
Exactly.
The common folk
exactly.
like us.
So it's exciting. I mean, we're definitely covering it and getting the story out to you, our listeners, which is our mission, part of our mission. Our mission is to have fun and convey the great this great message yes. to all of you.
Yes. And so we followed back up with Will Speck.
Yes,
garage.
We rolled over there.
So Will, Kyle, and Jeff right. were there that night.
That's right.
And it was cool because it was, I'll say, kind of a quiet night. I mean, there was work going on, but it wasn't like,
there's
you
no
know,
quiet night there.
Assholes and elbows running around that garage in that car.
Right.
And they had the electric motor in place mm-hmm. with the coupler that they had machined out to connect that motor to a Toyota transmission.
Right.
So they had the splines, that shaft with the special splines to adapt those to. They had the battery trays figured out.
Right.
And how they were going, you know, so, I mean, they're figuring this thing out as they go along. They have a plan.
Right.
But you know, obviously you start working on this car and go, okay, wait a minute. No, this is a good idea. Let's incorporate this and do that. And that's what you're going to hear about in this interview with them.
This update.
The update with Kyle, and Jeff and Will. And, nothing's going to, all these drivers that we've interviewed, I'm super stoked about.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, you know, these guys are, what do I want to say? This is something that's never been done before.
They're reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, and it's just it's a first. It's a first.
It's exciting.
And we're cheering everybody on, and I'm super excited to see this electric vehicle take off the line, and I want to get audio of it taking off the line.
Nope. There you go. So yep.
So
super cool.
Let's get into that interview, huh, Chris?
Let's roll it.
All right. Chris, we're here live in the Will Speck Garage.
Yes, we are.
With Will, Jeff, and Kyle.
That's right.
What's up?
How's it going?
Hey, hey.
Yay, yay.
All right. So as promised, we wanted to come back, and I guess, you kept the garage door open for us, so we appreciate that. We didn't know, you know, if you're going to let us back in to the compound here, so I appreciate that, Will. So, hey, updates. We want updates. Our listeners want updates on, and the last episode, they had a lot of questions. Questions about clutches, batteries, reverse, forward. How's this thing going to work? So Kyle's the technical guy here, I guess. So we'll let him answer some of these really technical questions. Everybody's nodding their head.
Also, okay. If anybody listening is technical, I also have questions. So
so he puts it, he hits the D button and pushes the pedal to the floor.
Yeah.
It's magic.
So when we rolled into the shop tonight, the motor was sitting there, the electric motor with the pack on top, the inverter sitting on top. So that's all one unit, the inverter and the motor.
Yeah.
And then you just had machined up and welded the coupler, the shaft between the motor and the transmission, the Toyota transmission.
Yep.
But there's no clutch.
No clutch.
No clutch.
Don't need one.
Don't need no stinking clutch.
No. Come on. It's 2020. We need no clutches. So basically, the way we want to try to reduce rotating mass anywhere we can.
Right.
And that's already true in racing.
Okay.
So if we can not have a clutch, then that's what we want to do. So the thing is with electric cars, right? So as you're driving, you're on the gas, right? You're in drive, and you want to shift. With us, because we have a late model AC motor, you can enjoy regeneration.
Yeah.
So when you get off the gas, you get a little bit of regen.
Right.
So
it turns into a generator and puts juice back into the batteries.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all part
Good
of
job.
Why we went with this platform. Yep. And then so when you want to go for a shift, you're going to let off the gas. You're going to switch the electric drive control to neutral.
Okay.
So now the motor is in neutral.
Okay.
And then you will go for your shift with the transmission lever, and then so basically in a regular engine, the transmission has synchros that will change the speed of the shafts in the transmission to match the speed of the engine, because you have a V8 or whatever that has a lot of rotating mass. You have a heavy flywheel,
right?
And it's not going to want to go a different speed because of inertia. Well, with an electric motor, we only have one rotating part. One. And that's the rotor inside of the stator. Okay. Yeah. And then so it's actually light and it doesn't have a lot of inertia. So it kind of does the reverse. So when we go to shift with an electric motor, the synchros will actually change the speed of the motor to match the transmission. And we'll get a decent shift.
Okay. There you go.
The other thing is that because we have about the same amount of torque from zero all the way up to our red line, so to speak, we really won't be shifting that much. I anticipate we'll just be using second and fourth basically all day.
I was going to say, you're pretty much going to pick a gear after you experiment with this thing, and you're pretty much stay in that gear until you get into like rock crawling, then the rock crawling section, then you'll be in low range or whatever, and
yeah,
gear so down at that point.
Ideally, we'll be able to leave the transmission in fourth, and then we'll just change the range box, the front 2.28 the range in front of the rear transfer case. But it's nice to have the different ranges of the five speed for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, we won't need to shift that much. But when we do, it might be a little bit. It's not going to be as smooth, maybe as like a real setup. But it should be just fine. And then we can reduce the rotating mass of a flywheel and clutch and the complexity.
Sure.
So that's what we're going with.
Okay. And then
a little bit of a learning curve on learning how to drive again, I guess. Instead of pushing it, you have to have like a button on the gear shift.
Yeah, maybe? There's going to be. So I was thinking about mounting on the gear shift.
Neutral switch.
Yeah, like an ignore button. So like as you go for the shift, you just grab the button as well, and it sort of like gives you a neutral for a second as you shift. But that for now, I think we're just going to go with the shift that came with the conversion. So
right.
I don't know.
Can't find it, grind it.
Hell yeah, brother!
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to make the shifts. We're gonna make it happen. Wow. But it should be fine.
Right on. What and then reverse, so that motor can go in reverse, correct?
Yeah. So just at the flick of a switch, the motor will turn the other way. So we don't have to actually change gears in the transmission to go the other way, to go to reverse.
Right, you just got to flip a switch.
So
that's kind of cool. I mean, think about like if you're going up, let's say back door, for example, and you're starting to get a little weird, you could hit a button and just instead of jamming your thing into reverse, you just flip a switch and you're whoop. Backwards.
For sure, you can get out of trouble real quick. Yeah. I mean, at least a little quicker. It's just an electrical switch to instantly get reverse.
Wow.
So there'll be benefits there. And then also, if you put the transmission in reverse and then the motor in reverse, you can drive forward, which would be kind of fun.
Right.
It'll be fun to do.
Plenty of options.
Yeah, like that'll just be a neat thing.
If you lose any of your forward gears, you can use your reverse gear.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you could. Yeah. You could use your reverse gear to go forward, for sure.
Well, and then it actually means R is for race. Maybe you should just start in R.
Maybe we should leave it in R.
You should. I would. Just to so you can say R is race.
Are we racing today? Well, it's in R. I don't know what to tell you.
The sun's out, so we're going in day mode.
Day mode. D for day mode. Yeah. This is mind-blowing shit, man. I love it. Okay, and then like your accessories. So you're going to have like a radio so you can communicate to the pits, and you're not going to be having air conditioning and stuff. But
they're going to have speakers so they can put that V8 sound out too.
Well, that too. No? So all your 12 volt normal 12 volt accessories. So you've got a special converter for that.
Yeah, so it's going to have a 12 volt battery. All electric cars have a 12 volt battery. It's part of just having common automotive components like your lights and stuff and horn, all that stuff. That's all 12 volts, just like a regular car. But then it also has to do with safety. So like when you get into the vehicle and you turn the key, the 12 volt system fires up first and it checks to make sure that everything's okay. If that's the case, it will close the 400 volt contactor and give high voltage outside out of the battery.
Oh, okay.
So every electric vehicle needs to have a 12 volt system.
Okay.
Just got it.
Wow.
So that said, how do you charge that? We don't have a serpentine belt for an alternator. You have a DC to DC converter, and that converts 400 volts DC to 13.8 volts DC, right? And then that you plug that to your battery, to the positive terminal of your battery, and that's how you keep your battery topped up at all times.
So it's like it works as your alternator.
Right.
Man, type deal. The component we got is 130 amps, so that's a pretty decent alternator size, 130 amps. It's not like, you know, maybe they've got some cooler ones, but we still have, we don't have a big load on 12 volts, I don't think so.
Right.
yeah, that's a decent pull. So we should be okay there. At least the other thing too is that we're going to be able to shut these systems off as we're driving. So our power steering pump is from a late model Volvo, or like a 2006 Volvo. It's an pump.
An electric power steering.
Yeah, that's what it is. I got it from a junkyard. And so we can turn that off. Like, if we're going straight for miles and we can see the road, and even if you have to turn a little bit, so what? We'll just turn the power steering off.
Right.
And then, so you still have the mechanical linkage.
Yeah. It's still
not full hydro.
Yeah, it still has a steering box. It has an IFS box. And so we'll be able to drive. And then when we're really in the rocks or we're doing some stuff, that's when we'll turn it on. Same thing with the Brake Master. So the Brake Master, I have a late model Chevy vacuum pump.
Yep.
And then so that will be switched to the brake pedal. So when you hit the pedal, that's when the pump will come on. And so when you're driving, the pump's off, right? If you're going like straight down the road.
Right.
And then
won't the motor actually act? Does that give you some braking as well?
So yeah, because when you're in regen, it's working against the wheels, right? Uh-huh. So you're slowing down. The other thing I'm going to do, I hope this works out. I'm going to wire a potentiometer or like a transducer of some kind to the clutch pedal, because we don't have a clutch anymore, but we still have the pedal in the car.
Okay.
So instead of using the brakes, I'm going to push the clutch, and as far as I push it, the motor will work harder and harder against the wheels.
Okay.
And I know that I'm not on the hydraulic disc brakes at all, because I'm not touching it at all, right? So
yeah.
Basically, I will never touch the brakes all day. I'll just use the clutch pedal, which is actually my regen on my motor.
So it's dynamic braking.
Yeah, and then so my left foot will be on the clutch pedal, and then my right foot's hovering over the brakes. And if I get the clutch pedal to the floor, so that's all regen possible, and it's still not going fast, slowing down quick enough.
Yeah,
I'll grab the hydro brakes with my right foot.
Okay, perfect.
That's kind of like the Jake brake on the truck. So
you're kind of
you're able to kind of turn down the motor compression there, increase the compression there for the motor.
Jake brakes sound awesome.
I know.
Yeah,
so there you need another noise to pipe into that speaker.
Yeah,
the
it'll also have a sensor, and we'll get the Jake Brick channel playing out when we're here on the that sounds like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So I think if we're in like four low and we're in first or second gear, I think full regen should pretty much hold the car, even in rock crawling situations.
That would be freaking phenomenal, man.
So then you're not even on your disc brakes at all, and everything you do going downhill is putting juice back in the battery, which is the idea.
You're right? Kind of thinking what I'm thinking in the golf cart, right? Like the newer golf carts do that. They regen, and then they have that dynamic braking. And that's basically what's going on here. Yeah.
Well, it's similar also to the hydrostatic mowers that I operate. You know, the dynamic braking, you let up on the pedal, and it's the hydraulic.
Yeah, it's like one of electricity, you've got hydraulic oil.
Yeah, but we're not regenerating electricity. It's just whatever. So.
Right.
Cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah, an electric water pump as well, and an electric fan, all 12 volts.
So let's talk about cooling. So there is, you were pointing that out when I first got here, there is cooling for the electric motor and the inverter on top there.
Yep.
And so you'll have just a little Toyota radiator. I mean, how hot does that thing get? I mean, is it what is the temperature does it like to run at?
Manifold burritos?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, well, it's not really a trail car if you can't cook taquitos
and
you know. So no, it
gas.
Yeah.
So the radiator that came out of the Leaf is extremely small. It's like ridiculously small. And originally I wanted to use it, but it doesn't really fit in the Toyota packaging. So we're just going to go with the Toyota radiator. And we'll have an inline 12-volt pump.
Sure.
And we'll have a 12-volt fan.
Sure.
But I don't anticipate that we'll need to use the fan, because this motor and the controls, they actually stay pretty cool. So if it starts to get hot, the first thing we'll turn on is the pump. So we'll start circulating coolant
through the radiator. Uh-huh.
And then if it continues to get hot, we'll turn the fan on. And that should be plenty of cooling for what we're doing. Because another thing about the way that we're going to race is that we're not going to be balls out all day. You know, we're going to be kind of taking it easy, because we need to conserve the battery juice.
Sure.
Right.
That's our major race strategy. So we're not going to be going that hot. And they really don't produce that much energy. So an electric motor is like over 90% efficient, whereas a gas motor is like closer to like 50%. A lot of that energy from the gasoline gets turned into noise and heat.
Right.
An electric motor uses almost all of its juice to get turned into spinning energy, to torque. So we're actually, you know, so our 200 torque motor and 100 horsepower motor is way more efficient than the 22 RE that came out of it.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt.
200 torques?
200 torques.
200 torques.
Oh, my God.
and it'll pass smog.
And it will pass smog.
It can get California an Access smog. OK sticker.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go in the fast lane.
You can go in the commute lane.
You should take it over to the smog guy, and he'd be like, what in tarnation?
Yeah.
Carb compliant. Yeah, it's got a plate on it, or it did. It took tailgate up, but right. It's got a plate. I mean, it was on the road at
Heck
one point.
Yeah.
Right? That's cool. So you've made a lot of progress. There's a lot of things that have happened. You want to talk about the battery packs and how that's kind of coming along?
Yeah, so we since the episode, we were able to take apart the Nissan. I think on that episode, the car drove here. It did.
Yeah,
that's right. It was while we were recording.
The Leaf showed up while we were recording. Yeah. Since then, we that Leaf is now scrap. Uh-huh. Okay, we get the motor out, battery out, and then we tore down the battery. It's that Gen 1 and Gen 2 Leafs have 48 modules all in series.
Okay.
And we are setting them up as 24 modules in series in two separate sort of racks.
Right.
That way it makes them a lot lighter to pick up. So we basically wanted it for two pit workers to be able to pick one half of it up.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're going with. Because if they were all combined, it would be very heavy. You'd need four pit workers, and it would kind of stink to move around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is that it's not only about just going in and out of the vehicle. It also needs to be put on a trailer or the back of a truck for charging and like moving the things around, right? So we split them up.
Well, and then looking at the racks that you've built in the back of the rig here, you need to make sure that these things, in the event of a rollover or an accident, they don't come out. They don't get ejected, if you will.
Yeah. So, I mean, ever from the beginning, from the outset of this goal was this project was safety. Like we, especially because we know that, you know, electric
high voltage kills,
and EVs are very early in off road still, I'd say. So we don't want to have a kind of a problem where we could be sort of a bad example for the future.
Right.
So we want to err on the side of safety at all times. Like. Sure. Because we want to be safe, but then also because we kind of are thinking that way, that we don't want to have an event that makes it look bad so people don't do it, right? We want to create a roadmap like, hey, you can make your Yoda like this.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You can do it. So, so we have like these really beefy 2-inch square tube 120 wall. Like it's like a locking mechanism. We're still like finalizing it, but these batteries are not going to come out of the chassis.
Yeah.
They're like if it's locked in, which it will be at pit, it's this car. It, the same way that you trust the roll cage, you will be able to trust the system that we've made for the batteries to not move. At least not majorly. They might move a little bit in the wreck, but they're not going to come out and get high voltage everywhere.
Right. Right. But I mean, that's pretty cool. The concept that you came up with is sliding them in and out because you obviously change out in the pits. So we were talking about that before and like, hey, what are we going to do? Or how are you guys going to do that? Not what we were going to do. We're going to be watching. But
this is cool.
Which is pretty cool side to be on.
I like this side of the microphone. Let me tell you.
We're having fun, but man, it's all
it sucks to be in that right now.
A lot of hours in the shop on this side. The microphone.
Well, you know, we're gonna at the end of the show, we're gonna pack up and go home.
That's right. You guys, that's right. You guys got another 6-8 hours ahead.
Bang
of you.
And clang,
clanging and blanging.
Until probably midnight, right?
Yeah.
Until the neighbors say something.
Yeah. your neighbor's been neighbors cool so
you.
Far.
Oh, totally.
That's great. Love That's great.
Love you, Dennis.
Love you. Give a shout out to the neighbors.
Love you, and Fletcher.
Every neighborhood's got one.
Yeah,
and I think we were all that guy in the neighborhood at one point.
That's but right.
Yeah,
three of them all together.
That's right.
Yeah, we've met them all though. They're super supportive. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
I'm just now some other curiosity that I have. So you got these battery packs are, you said they can be picked up by two of your pit dudes
with good backs,
move them out. So that's obviously a significant amount of weight that's going to be in the back. Plus you're going to have a spare tire, tools, other sort of things. And it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of weight up front. Are you going to have to ballast the front to kind of balance the car out?
So, so we're going to add roughly, and we'll find out later, but we're going to add roughly 1,200 pounds to the bed of this thing.
Okay.
Which in the bed previously was just a 30-gallon or so, or 25-gallon, I don't know, Jazz fuel cell.
Right.
And that's about it. A jack and I think a spare.
Right.
So we're adding a lot of weight to the rear. And you're right. We're really not adding anything to the front because that motor and inverter is lighter than a 22RE. And the components we're adding are – so for sure, we're going to have much more of a rear weight bias than this car was set up. Yeah, I mean, it's part of the challenge.
Yeah, you know? I mean, like, you don't know it until you get it going.
We didn't have enough time, so this is the chassis that we got, and you know, these were the components that we got. We're gonna add compression to the rear shocks. That's part of our that'll be our tune strategy going in. I'd love to add some more spring because that's the actual way that you fix that issue.
Right.
These are the springs we got. They're Devers. They're nice stuff.
I was going to say, yeah, you've got some good suspension right now. Yeah,
so kind of, you know, it's not exactly part of the scope. As of right now, we're converting the car. And then, you know, we're going to see what we do. We're gonna go with some higher compression in the shocks. And that's, you know, that's kind of where we're at. Totally, we're adding a lot of weight to the back.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to go back to the batteries real quick because we kind of glossed over the fact of you know, yeah, it's two guys, but... It's a pretty cool concept that you came up with here that where they can slide in and then lock into place because you know you can't sit there and be cranking down bolts and stuff while you're in the pits, right? You're trying to do this as fast and as efficient as possible, and the system that you came up with is really cool. And then to expand on that, so you got a package in your driveway today, this black box with more batteries from another Leaf. You said there's two different battery packs that come in these Leafs. So
it's actually really good timing today because you're here. I think the last time the Leaf drove here.
Yeah. Now this one just got delivered. Arrived today.
An hour before this all started. Like it just showed up hot and fresh.
Our timing
that
is impeccable.
That came from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Wheeling wine and whiskey.
It's
from
right?
Tennessee. I didn't
know. We need you guys to show up a little more often.
I know.
Jack Daniels.
Yeah, there should have been some whiskey in that crate.
Yeah. Tennessee whiskey. I like bourbon more.
There you go.
All right.
I lean towards bourbon too.
So from the get go, you know, I got a 2015 Leaf. That's the Gen 2 car. It's got what they call the Lizard Pack because the Gen 2 batteries were more they were ready for more heat. They did better than the Gen 1. So
okay.
That's what I got. It's got a little more power, I think, but really the batteries were the same kilowatt hours, 24 kilowatt hours. That's not enough. That's not going to cut it.
Right.
So we would need to either add more of the Gen 2 batteries, which is how we kind of set the car up, was you could have two full packs in the back, and that'd be roughly 1,200 pounds. But really, for the 45-mile section that we face in our EV race, that would be very, very optimistic. It is so that the later model Leafs, like 18, 19, and 20, they had an option for a 40-kilowatt-hour battery.
Okay,
and that's significantly more juice than 24, almost double, right?
Almost double, yeah.
So, and those modules would actually fit in the racks that we made. They were a very similar configuration. They're hard to find. They're hard to. There are not very many available because
you didn't know if those packs were going to fit until half an hour.
Well, I knew the 40s would. I knew the 40s would, but then there's also a brand new pack.
Okay.
Out of the 62 kilowatt Leaf.
Oh boy.
And that's even more juice, right? Triple the juice of what we got.
Right.
And that'd be nice, right? Sure. But then online you can see that they are different in a lot of ways, and you get in all the different ways that they're different, but they are. And so it was really hard to find 40s or 60s available anywhere. But there's one auto salvage company in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, that semi-regularly has 40s and 62s available.
Okay.
And it's because they're less than a mile away from the supplier of the Nissan Leaf batteries.
There you go.
So I talked to the guy a little bit, and I found out they asked the same price for the 40s or the 62s.
Really?
And I couldn't bring myself to spend the same money on the pack that I knew would work, but it's 40 versus the unknown that's 62. I was like, I can't do it. I talked to him about it. I was like, hey, man, I could pay a little less for the 40. It's what I need for my project. He's like, sorry, I don't have to tell you. These things are flying off the shelf.
Yeah.
We're the only ones that got them.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'll take a 60 then, and we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so it showed up here. and we just took it apart right now, right before we started recording.
Yeah, just before.
We were here for the reveal.
For the reveal, the clamshell there.
And like, yeah, so it's actually really, it's awesome. They really looks like they're going to fit. It looks like they're going to fit in the car. Still have some questions about the connections, but I think we're going to make it happen. Woo! Physically, they should fit. Yeah, so it was super exciting to find out.
So just to give the listeners an idea of what this thing looked like, it's basically like a small rooftop tent that was sitting in your driveway on
basically,
a pallet.
Yeah, like a Baroud.
Because see, our Overlanders could relate to that.
They weighed 700 pounds, right?
Yeah, but it was 700 pounds, roughly,
a little different there. Yeah.
And 400 volts, you said, that thing can crank out?
Yeah, almost all electric cars operate on roughly 400 volts.
Okay, and then you were super excited when you showed up, and then there was like the center of this battery pack, if you will, had a plug and an interrupter.
Yep.
And so you immediately grabbed that and you said, okay, you pull this off, and then it basically makes it safe to.
I'm a little surprised.
Safer
with it in.
Safer to handle. Yeah.
Safer. Yeah. I mean, why did it?
That's actually a fair question. I had thought about that, especially because it had been damaged. That pack had noticeable damage on the outside of it, and that's why it's for sale, right? I mean, if it was good, it would be in a new Leaf on the line.
Yeah.
So. You're right. That's actually an awesome
point.
It came
from Tennessee, Chris. I mean,
drinking their bourbon and saying, let's leave the plug in.
From one redneck to another, this will be fine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They'll get it. So basically, that's a plug that's available for access inside the car. So when a Nissan Leaf is all together, you can reach into the back seat and then around in between where the two rear passengers would be, there's a small plastic lid, and you can pull that off with no tools. You can do it with your fingers if you have to. Underneath, you'll see the top of the battery, and what is right there is it's orange, and it's a plug, and you pull the connector off, and you lift the plug out, and that de-energizes the pack. So it separates the two halves of the pack. So still inside, there's a lot of juice, but at least to the outputs coming out of the battery, they don't have any juice.
So you could totally jack with your friends that have Leafs by doing that.
You could. Right. It would still fire. If you hopped in the car and hit the switch, it would still fire up and all the lights would come on.
But
it would just have a high
anywhere.
Voltage fault. Yeah,
that's awesome.
It would be like a little voice that, ding! Somebody took your internet.
It's got a battery missing light flashing on the dash.
Somebody stole your battery.
Batteries are gone. It was interesting because you said like the bottom of this pack is actually like the floorboard of the car, and then that upper portion that we were looking at is inside the car. But the thing is sealed really well, as you would expect, so that no water gets in there. And
water dust. Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys figured out a trick to get that thing open, and you had that thing open pretty quick. That was impressive.
Gas. Matt,
you're all about Matt.
Matt motherfucking gas.
I think that was that a 10 millimeter?
Yeah, it was 10 millimeter.
10 millimeter to get the bolts off. And then after that, they have a like almost kind of like around your windshield, like a really thick
rubber cock.
Black rubber cock. Yeah, black rubber.
Yeah.
So we got to get that black rubber cock out of there.
It was black cock.
Wow.
Well, I'm just saying, it's what it was. Was it not?
It was black cock.
Oh, yeah, see?
we had to figure out a way to handle that. So we used a torch and a hammer and a knife. That's how we did it.
And a chisel. I saw a chisel.
Chisel. And then so that I think that's the best way without getting like a specific tool for it, you know? So it's like, we figured out a way.
No, that's good.
And we were standing back with those riot gear shields.
Yes.
Jason
standing far away. These idiots are putting a torch to a battery. Like, what the hell?
Well, that's why I was waiting for a PG&E truck to drive by so I could grab their, you know, fiberglass pole in case somebody lit up like a Christmas tree to yank them off of there, you know?
Right. No doubt.
Yeah.
So you guys got it open successfully, and it was like Christmas.
Yeah.
Lots of excitement just because we looked at it and everything was still not burnt to a crisp on the inside.
Well, yeah, and dented, you know, so there was no damage on the inside. And then you were excited, too, that the dimensions were what you were hoping the dimensions were going to be of the individual packs. So that's...
Yeah, they're slightly different, which is kind of what was anticipated, just based off of, like, some of the... Literally, the, like, Nissan brochures.
Uh-huh.
Because I couldn't find anything where somebody actually tore it apart and, you know, really got dimensions off it. So it's cool. We're part of DIY Electric Car. Our handle is Rock Crawler, and we have a post about it. And, you know, kind of like an old school bill thread, you know,
okay.
like the way they used
like
to
the
be
old pirate? Pirate.
Yeah, like a pirate. Yeah, so I think we're also going to put our build on pirate, even though no one follows it like they should. But we're going to do a build on pirate.
I can't imagine the people that are on that forum are as brutal as cutthroat as they were on pirate. These guys, I got to imagine these are kind of. Am I stereotyping here?
Yeah, but it's fair. It's fair. Like, yeah, I think I'm the only. Yeah, I think
I
I'm the
got
only
internet warriors. But dude, I can't see anybody that's okay.
We're probably
on.
The only ones that took a torch to a battery on
right.
that forum.
Exactly. Like, you know, exactly.
Like, which is all. So, but I don't know.
There's not many rednecks on that forum. Let's put it that way.
And that's no.
Is that a
not.
Fair statement?
That is a fair
okay.
statement.
All right. All right.
But in the same breath, there is still a lot of knowledge on that forum.
Yeah. Well, no. And I wasn't discounting. That, right. And that's what I actually wanted to get into was like, I mean, this is cool, you know, the old power of the internet and stuff, and you got to take everything with a grain of salt. But I mean, how much information have you gained and just all these questions that you have? Because I mean, you're in a total uncharted territory, and it's great to have some, you know, people out there that maybe had some experience with, you know, whatever part you're dealing with, right? And then they go, oh, well, here's how you got to do this and don't mess with that and blah, blah. So, I mean, yeah, how powerful
I mean,
is that
pretty.
Game?
Oh, I don't know. Basically everything I've said so far. let's put it that way.
Well, there you go.
I mean, with my own, you know, educated best guess of my previous knowledge of off-roading and, you know, stuff like that. But no, for sure, the internet is massively useful. I mean, hey, right here in the shop, next in between two big tool chests is a computer.
Right. A
with
super
multiple
computer.
Screens.
Super
know?
Computer.
Yeah.
With the biggest case I've ever seen, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, we use that a lot. And then when I'm at work, I'm pretty much on my computer looking at electric car stuff. Like, in the dull moments of the day, of course.
But,
so
I mean,
it's just the evolution. I mean, you're not talking about LSs and Dana 60s. You're talking about leaf motors and batteries and. Well, Dana 60s probably.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, the rest of the chassis, you know, we're not necessarily tackling yet. But just looking at electrifying it, because I think that there really can be a lot of advantages to be had with AC electric motor propulsion.
Oh, sure.
That can improve upon, I mean, especially, you know, oh, man, I don't want to put this out there too much. But especially when you look at moon buggies. I really think because they're on short courses,
sure,
right? They're not worried about capacity, right? What are they? Fuel tanks, right?
Yeah.
They're not worried about capacity. They're looking for on-demand torque, and it even doesn't need to be a lot. And there's a lot of other advantages that I think could be found.
No, I love that. That's packaging. Exactly.
I mean, it's all
packaging,
about packaging,
right? There it is, packaging. And then, so, I mean, this way, hey, if you found a way to mount one of these motors on your front and rear axle, then your chassis is open. Your suspension is open.
You could literally put
whatever you want to do.
Dead center now.
You could do literally anything with the chassis and the way you want to set your links up. I mean, there's almost – it really minimizes your constraints.
Who will be the first?
Well, I saw a rock buggy. Optima had it in their booth. I was trying to think of what show, though – I was at that had it.
Was it SEMA?
It wasn't SEMA. But anyways, it was brand new, and you know, I was asking questions, and a lot of the answers were like, "No, it's not working yet. This doesn't work. We're trying to figure this out." There was a lot. It was early on, and they had a lot of batteries, and you know. But anyways, I agree. I think there is huge potential to have a badass. You know,
unlimited crawler.
Well,
if anybody's going to do it, it'll be Cody Wagner. He'll do it first, I guarantee.
I think mostly for that reason right now would be because they're not worried about range.
Right.
Now, when you start to worry about range, that's when the batteries really need to start, you know, they need to become more
technology battery. Needs to catch up.
Yes.
There's a new company out, or I don't know how new they are, but QuantumScape has some really cool battery technology in the solid state field. And that's the type of stuff that we really need to see for our kind of play toys to get the range and power that we want.
Sure.
Obviously, already Tesla batteries are badass, but the quantum state, the solid state stuff is what's really going to take it to the next level. And that might produce, your winning Ultra 4 car. And it's a few years out, but that's on the horizon, and it's coming.
Well, and then the trickle down from that going into the rec driving for the Rubicon, Ford Ice, you know, Barrel Lake and things like that, the recreational wheeler, because they're not going to drive, you know, 13 miles down and 13 miles up on Ford Ice from Meadow Lake if they have range anxiety, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, and the other thing, too, is that when it comes to, like, solar panels to charge, like, that's all well and good. That does something. But, I mean, you could have your entire roof, hood, and trunk full of solar panels, and in an entire day, you'll get 4 miles.
Yeah, you're gonna like, have to camp at Rubicon really Springs work. For a couple months.
The conversion rate for that is literally like 10%. So, like, you're only using 10% of whatever you can get from the sun, technically.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and the solar cell technology hasn't really advanced.
It works for certain applications, but it doesn't work for like a vehicle.
No.
You know.
No. So one of the things you mentioned on the last podcast is going from like zero charge or very low charge to 80% goes pretty quick.
Yep.
But it's that last 20% that takes a long time. So, you know, that was part of your, you know, talk last time. So now with this addition of battery packs that you've got and everything, are you planning on doing any charging at all?
Yep.
During the, you are. Okay. And then the couple, how long does that take? Couple hours, you said?
Well, I guess what it depends on. I guess I wish I could give you a real solid answer. Like, we had a charger set up and we've already tested on the battery,
right.
You know?
Yeah, no.
What's supposed to work, what the internet says, right, is that the chargers I got that we have are, they should put 4 kilowatts of juice into the battery. I'm not exactly sure what the time frame is on that. But so with a 6,500 watt generator, that's very common, right? 6,500 watt utility contractor generator.
Right.
We should be able to power these 4K chargers. And it's two in tandem, wired in parallel to get even more juice in quicker. Basically, we're going to leave the line. Since the 62 is going to fit, I'm going to get another 62. And that way, when we leave the line, we're only going to have a 62 in the car to reduce weight.
Okay.
When we get to the first pit, it's roughly 20 miles, so we should have enough juice. When we get to the first pit, we're going to put a fresh 62 and a 24, which we already have, into the car. That's for the long loop. During that long loop, which will take us hours, because it's 45 miles, we're not going to do 60 miles an hour, so it's going to take us hours. We'll charge that depleted 62.
Okay.
So we should be able to swap the 62 and remove the 24 for the 20-ish miles back to pit. Back to Maine, and that's the 90-mile course for the EVs this year.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'll just drop it right now. I think we already talked about it, but we want to then continue on course and go hit the rocks.
Okay, so
the rest of the stock class. So even though that's not part of what the EV class is, we want to see what this thing does in the stock class. That's part of what we want to do. If everything's going good, we're not stopping. We're gonna go. We want to line up with
you're
the 46.
Here.
So Dave,
we're gonna try.
Dave Cole and JT and them have already they got a shorter course set up for you per se. So what you're doing the first section with everybody?
That's what I got. Was the EV class is just going to be the desert loop?
Okay,
the 90-mile desert loop.
Okay, so and no then, rocks.
No rock trails.
Yeah.
There are some rocks in.
Yeah.
But
no,
not the
no
same
rock
as
trails.
You're not doing
sledge, chocolate thunder.
No,
and all that.
No. But we want to do that from the outset. Before we found out that we were only required to do the first lap, we wanted to do the first and second lap.
So
there's
agree.
there's gonna be a little sign out there that says EVs this way. Little arrow.
The idea is we're going to blow past that thing. We're going to run it over.
That's what I want to see.
So it sounds like there's going to be more than one EV?
As I hear, as of right now, no. I'd love for some competition.
Oh,
so if we're the only one, then it's, you know, obviously, like, we're real racers. We're real competitors. It's not really a race if you win and nobody else entered. Like, we're not.
Right.
You know, that wouldn't be a real trophy as far as any of us are concerned.
Yeah.
We would love for competition. We hope for it. If nobody shows up this year, we hope for it next year.
Right.
We hope we can kind of spark that and get that going.
Somebody
I know. I didn't tell you, Chris, on the way over here, I got a call from Cody Wagner. He's going to have a Prius on 40s.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
That's, bring that's it out. Put a cage in it. Yeah. Line it up. Let's go.
Sticky 40s?
Yeah.
Sticky
40.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring it, motherfucker.
Come on. Line it up. Let's do it. We'll race against 40s. We'll get that. Come on.
I mean, yeah.
I'll be mad if he actually brings one. I'm
so let's circle back a little bit and kind of let's talk about timeline now. We're roughly, when this episode airs, we're going to be about 5 weeks.
Yeah.
No, great. Just
the timeline.
The whole parade here, Chris.
We're doing great. All right.
So instead of, you know, how do you eat an elephant, right?
One piece at a time.
So
just like Johnny Cash.
How we laid out the whole, like, the plan. We ended up, like, looking at the whole elephant. Well, I broke it down in weeks.
Okay.
So now we're on week three. So week three, we're on schedule. So we're back on schedule.
Great.
So we were 2 weeks behind. So, yeah, we're on schedule.
I feel confident that we have the components, the knowledge, and the gumption, right?
Yeah.
We're going to have this car moving at the start line. It's just how cool can we make it?
Right.
You know, how hammered out can we get the details? But we're going to be at the start line. That is absolutely a fact.
I have no doubt.
Heck yeah.
That's going to happen. Yeah. You guys are cool.
For sure. We're super tight on the timeline. We started months late, really. But
it's all right. I mean, hey, you know, you're marrying two freaking, like, you got all the mechanical stuff set. You know how four-wheel drive operates and all that stuff and suspension and all that, right? And then you're marrying in this brand new technology to create this EV. So, but you have made a ton of progress since we've been here last and figured out a lot of the things that you had, you know, I don't want to say no clue about, but like you didn't know how it was going to go together, right? So now those things have been figured out. And so, I mean, like the power steering, the brakes, the radiator, all that stuff you've done before, that's easy. And especially since you don't have to plumb it, you just got to run wires and switches. That's pretty straightforward stuff. So,
and they've got it sitting on race tires.
Yeah. It's like,
those are 10s on 20s.
Yeah.
In the toy
hall. Well, exactly. So, like, it reminded me of seeing the monster trucks when they load them into trailers, right. And they got the little tiny shoes they put on them to get them in and out of the trailers, right,
exactly.
For transport. But, yeah.
So
Will wants to say something here.
Sure.
So, there's a, like, mating the motor to the key to put the motor to the transmission. That was a very expensive rendition that we went through.
It wasn't like Legos.
Yeah,
it was.
It didn't snap together.
Yeah, so we're on a second or third rendition.
Second rendition.
And we're learning, you know. So we got the right people. So like what Kyle was saying, it's the knowledge, and it's having the right people and having the right equipment and tools, which is making this a lot more seamless.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it makes it more seamless. And it's the convenient. We all live within a couple miles or across the street.
Yeah.
Right.
Or within a couple blocks
of
key people that, you know, are part of this. And give a shout out to Charlie P, you know, Charlie Pangolino.
Oh, man. Charlie has massively, massively boosted this build. He's a great guy that I got to know so far. Just through this build is how I met him. Man, he has done all, like, he's really helped me out when it comes to the high voltage, the battery stuff. That's the only reason why I had any sort of confidence tonight.
Right.
I learned it from a fellow who is his profession, his high voltage.
Okay, background?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but besides that, he's an awesome guy. Can't say enough about Chucky P. Really, really helped
out a
lot with how we're going to, and he still is continuing to help out with this build. Big, like, number one contributor, I would say. Like, awesome. And I know you're here and you're here. But no, seriously, he's got the pennant right now for sure.
Okay,
for sure. And so hopefully we can keep that rocking and rolling and together, you know, with the whole team and Charlie, we'll have this thing on the start line.
No doubt.
I gotta imagine. I mean, when you ask for help or expertise from somebody, they got to be just super ecstatic about when they hear what you're trying to achieve, and like they're willing to help you anyway. I mean, you know, it's not like they're out there trying to build something themselves to compete with you, right? So it's like and that's all been part of the Ultra 4 you know, family and fun is contributing to the, you know, get you out to that race course and on the start line, and then we'll beat you out on the race course. But I gotta imagine a lot of people, when you tell them about this project, are just like, oh man, that's freaking cool, here's what I know, or here, this might help you or whatever, right? So
for the most part,
yeah.
And I'm not here to toot my own horn. I just know how to pick them. I did have a couple bad apples that said that they were going to help out. And I flat out told them, say, hey, you said you were going to come by? Go fuck off.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. Just.
Well, yeah, you need.
You got things to do. You're going to commit. Yeah,
yeah, you don't need people to come over here and drink all your beer. You need people to turn wrenches and make this thing work, right?
Do I have to leave?
Right, Chris. Yeah, you got to leave now. Yeah.
but going back to Chucky P, me and him go back way back.
Yeah.
Air Force days, import drag, Honda drag racing days, illegals. I mean, recreational stuff on the street.
But
Chucky P is definitely my right hand man from back in the day, starting, you know, doing the drag racing thing. And Chucky's just he's down. He's down for the cause. He's, you know, if you need help, he's there, you know. And him knowing about the electrical stuff,
yeah,
fuck it. Well, bring it.
There you go. Cool.
Yeah, but also there's a lot to say about, like, just Kyle himself, like, the energy he brings with everything. It's just, like, what before this build even started, like, Kyle one day was like, hey, you guys want to build a race car? And we're just like, sure, why not? And then he just kept the same energy literally the whole time, just, like, always, high, like full throttle, like, let's do something fun. Let's, like, he's from, like, Mass, so literally, like, all the people I know from Mass still hang out with, like, the people they grew up with, and they still do the same stuff they ever do, and they encourage being out with each other. And then it's just he's just bringing that, like, the New England style over to California and just trying to have as much fun time as much as he can with his friends out here. And then it's just very, very, like, contagious with the, like, just like, makes you want to have fun with him.
That's key there, the contagious part, and it's great because Kyle's very knowledgeable, but, you know, he's I don't know how this is going to work, but we're going to figure it out, right? He's got that can-do attitude, and that's the key.
I could just see
right there.
Hey, you guys want to build a race car?
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Oh, hey, by the way, we're not going to use gas engine.
Ah, shit. Everybody does that.
Hey, so one thing I want to add, too, is what made this build even more special was that Kyle's dad was here. Few days ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that was really cool. Uncle Larry. Uncle Larry was here.
Nice.
You know?
What did Uncle Larry think of this operation?
Fucking badass.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude. You know, he came in here and, you know, did his thing, helped out. And, you know,
one of the wirings, his path was mostly electrical, and he helped out a lot with the wiring and the way that the motor needs to see the resolver and just making that connection, basically stripping down the Nissan Leaf harness to get rid of what we don't need, but keeping what we do need for the stripped down VCU, right?
Sure,
for that aftermarket component. So and it was awesome. It was an awesome few days in the shop.
Yeah, it was fucking cool, man. You know, that's cool,
great
dude. Cool, calm, collective. You know, he just brings that, like what Jeff was saying.
It's a great team. It's a great team that we got, you know. That's what's going to put the car on the line.
It's the team.
Another bite of the elephant, right?
Yeah, and you'll see that around U4. Everybody says that because it's true. I mean, it's the team that puts the car on the line.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and when it comes to the knowledge that we've learned and what the components that we're using and things, this is – I want to spell this out. I want to share this knowledge. I want to put – none of this is under wraps. let's give this out, put it on forums, put it on Facebook, Instagram, whatever.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
So that any, you know, when it comes to the component list, the part numbers of the coupler, when it comes to exactly what we do with the batteries and what we use, that's all available for anybody else. Like, we sure. want to try to, because that's part of the Ultra 4 way. That's how it is.
Absolutely. Sure. And cool. it's this journey right now. I mean, the memories that you guys are making and, you know, things that you're learning. I mean, you know, yeah, the goal is to get to that start line and go race. But I think this is the fun part here is just making this thing work and getting it there. Right. Yeah. So right on, man.
Well, I want to do burnouts.
I think it'll do that. No problem.
Yep.
No problem.
Especially on these tires. Especially the skinnies.
Reverse burnouts. Motor in reverse, trans in reverse, burning out and forward. Oh, beer hanging out the window.
We'll see if those
We're
Toyota.
Not condoning alcohol usage while you're driving.
Private property. Private property.
No drinking and driving. Drive then drink.
That's the way to
apple juice,
guys.
Apple juice. My Mountain Dew, baby.
You guys want to do any shout-outs?
Yeah, you got final thoughts here. We're definitely going to hit you up another time at least once before you hit the desert floor here, and then on the desert floor, it's game on.
I'll give a shout-out to our sponsors, CJCOffroad.com. Go check them out for any Carly, you know, Dodge, Ford, things like that. Top-notch. All they sell is quality shit. Bentech for all your software CAD. You know, you want to bend up a cage, you're going to need software.
Yep.
An idiot like me can figure it out. You can figure it out, too, with the Bentech. Who else? We got Fat Four Customs, if you're into imports. You got the Honda Accords. He specializes in suspension, things of the like. And last but not least, we also got used to be Rome Lost. Now that he is called Elevated and Lost? Something like that. I totally hacked that up. I apologize. But it's Rome Lost. Go look up Rome Lost. And it's... And... David Cole.
Yeah,
David Cole. And Bailey Cole, man. So
Bailey's awesome.
Yeah, so...
Elevated and Lost.
Elevated and Lost.
New name. Elevated and Lost. That's a recent change.
Yep. Okay. So Elevated and Lost. Go check him out. And he was just interviewed by ABC News or something like that.
Oh, really?
They're local.
Yeah, getting the trash out. That's a major thing is getting the trash out of the wilderness. It doesn't belong there. You know, kill all litter bugs, you know, that kind of thing. Awesome programs got going on. Great friends of ours.
Yep. Right on.
So, you know, that's who they are, man. So shout out to all you guys.
That's Take awesome.
Here we go.
Wait,
this Pro
just
Eagle. And Pro Eagle. Yes, Chuck.
Jack.
Thank you, Chuck. Pro Eagle. Yes.
Nice. Well, we'll hashtag it up there in the on the gram. But that's awesome, man. Well, guys, to be continued. Super exciting. Man, I'm just so looking forward to. That's all right. Just a little air. It's a shop.
Yeah.
So looking forward to this the next time we come by and see what the next progress point is here. But great work. Keep it up. You guys are an inspiration here. I love it. Working out of a garage and making it happen.
With our friends.
With your friends, exactly right.
Working out of a garage with our friends, having a good time, learning, working on shit. That's it. That's where it's at.
Okay, we're going to end this thing before this air compressor blows on us.
No, it's bleeding out. It's bleeding out.
I know. All right. Live it.
Love it.
Race it. Okay,
do that again. We need that. Let's do that clean. Go ahead, do it.
Love it.
Live it.
Race it.
There we go. So there's the update. EVE.
They got a lot of work to do.
They do. But they're making steady progress.
They're committed.
They got their eye on the prize.
They do.
They're passionate.
We got a plan.
And it will happen. And sure. I love the batteries that they brought in, the new battery pack, how they're going to adapt.
We were there when that was cracked delivered. Open. Apparently, that as you heard in the podcast, there was we're the first people in the entire, other than the people that built those battery packs, we're the first non-manufacturers to see the inside of that pack.
It, you know, and I'm a mechanical guy, and I looked at that thing, and I was amazed at how small gauge the wires are between the batteries.
Right.
I mean, I would expect double-aught, you know, fucking welding water wire between each battery, you know, super.
Well, yeah, I think, but, you know, as you make the bigger connections going from battery.
Well, to, it is. You know, it's
the wire progressively gets
yeah,
larger.
Yeah, to get right? to 400 volts.
Amp, 400 volt. How many 400 amps are we volts. Talking?
I don't know. It was 1.2 gigawatts.
1.21 gigawatts.
But the cool thing was is watching Kyle reach over when this thing landed on their driveway, literally on their driveway on a pallet.
Uh-huh.
And it's just this metal can, you know, this, what was it, like 6 foot by... 3 foot wide, 4 foot wide, something.
Yeah, something.
I mean, it was significant.
I don't think it was
the size of a pallet.
It's big.
Okay,
yeah, it's
so five by four
or something like that.
Something like that.
Right.
And in the middle of this battery pack is a, you know, and we talked about it here.
Disconnect.
On the, a disconnect. And it's just this plastic, you know, deal with a copper conductor
yeah.
that basically, you know, kills the battery pack by removing it.
Right.
And, you know, so as soon as Kyle got there and he's like, okay, we need to take this off. And now it's safe. It's like putting the pin back in the fucking
the grenade,
right?
And I made the comment, that probably shouldn't have shipped that way.
I know. Yeah. And it is surprising that it did ship like that. But anyways, and then when they pop the top open and it's all sealed, you know, so it doesn't have water intrusion and stuff.
Right.
It had this crazy, butyl fucking whatever.
Black cock.
seal. And you see all these battery packs, you know, these cells connected together and all these little wires. And I'm just like, holy smokes.
And they got to connect every single
one of
those things together.
That is a battery puzzle. So, I mean, hey. They're on track.
Yep.
Well,
they're not on track yet.
Well, yeah, they are. According to Will, they are, according
they're
to,
on track. They're on track. They're not on the racetrack.
No, they're not on a racetrack, but they're on track with this thing. So that's freaking great.
It's super cool. I mean, we're probably going to follow up with them at least one or two more times.
We've got to follow up at least one more time before before race day.
All right.
And then we will catch them on the lake bed.
Of course.
Apparently we camped next to them last year.
Apparently that's
the Boston case. Kyle. How funny is that? Small fucking world. We were there and people that have been to King of the Hammers know the lighted teepee.
This wall, yeah.
And
it's kind of famous.
Three-wheeler circle track.
Three-wheel shit show.
So if you don't know about that, you need to educate yourself and learn about the track because it is on Google Earth.
What is it? Flobama? No.
Orbama.
Orbama.
Oregon and Alabama. Orbama.
Alabama.
Orbama.
Right.
So very, very freaking cool. I'm super freaking stoked for KOH now.
No, it's getting closer. I mean, at this point, we should be... What, 4 weeks?
We're 4 weeks away. Yeah, we're at the beginning of...
3 weeks.
Are we? No, we're at the end of... This podcast is going to release at the end of December, so yeah.
Yeah, 4 weeks.
Three and a half. I don't have my calendar in front of me right now. Lorenzo ain't doing shit.
No, he's useless. It's late.
Has he already just checked out for the holidays? Is that what's going on?
He's been hitting the eggnog pretty
hard. Do they even celebrate?
Eggnog.
Eggnog. Oh, he's been in the eggnog?
Oh, yeah. You see the empty carton over there?
Okay. Now that look, his little tail's wagging halfway there. Okay. All right. That's what's been going on. But
okay. Well, KOH and eggnog.
We've got some swag coming for KOH. Some
that's
neck
right.
gaiters, so you can be socially distanced and masked up and safe. We've got some koozies.
New
and improved koozies that will be there. And we got stickers, and if you need any swag to represent on the lake bed, we would love for you to visit our website,
that's
merchandise
right.
page, and you know what you can do? You can save 10%.
That's right.
You don't have to be a patron. Patrons save 20%.
Mm-hmm.
But 10%, and it's Lorenzo 10.
Lorenzo 10, all one word.
Yep, Lorenzo 10, and that will also save you on the Dirtbag site if you want to
correct.
Peruse Johnny, Dirtbag Johnny's.
Look at the big zip.
Site there. Yeah, well, he's got some cool
he's
stuff.
He's got a lot of
that
cool
big
stuff.
Zip is really cool. But there's some great clothing there, and you know, just peruse and see. It's going to be too late for Christmas at this episode, you know what? Birthdays, whatever. Yep. Just a gift, just to say you care.
Represent, and if you buy some stuff, then take a picture of you wearing it.
So tag us. That's a good point. Tag us on the gram,
Instagram,
and we will repost. And that's a cool thing. And I guess we were a little remiss. We misspoke a little bit. I don't know if we've corrected this in previous podcasts. That Tyler from Snail Trail helps host our website.
He does.
Not our website. Our website? He hosts our website.
He hosts our website. That's correct.
He basically holds the keys. He holds the purse strings to this operation.
He's got us by the
short hairs.
Short hairs.
Does he?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's scary. Toyota guy?
We have pictures of him.
That's right. I heard he bought a new vehicle that will be good.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Check him out at Snail Trail.
Snail Trail 4x4, they have helped us out. In all seriousness, they've helped us out from day one.
Exactly.
We would not have excelled as quickly in the they shortened our learning curve in the podcasting
dramatically.
World. And we've helped each other. I've been happy to impart knowledge to them, and they've imparted knowledge to us.
We'll correct all their mistakes.
Yeah. So. But Tyler, I guess the server's sitting on his floor in his house that helps host this podcast.
So really?
Yeah, we got to give Tyler credit for that.
It's just and a box Morphly. In his house?
It's some box that has a fan and a hard drive that spins around really fast and holds all these ones and zeros.
Fancy server farm somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's his Bitcoin farm. That's his other business.
Well, that explains a lot.
But yeah, so check out Snail Trail 4x4 and also, you know, Morphlate. That's Tyler's other gig. He's got like his hands in every.
He does. I remember
when I used to be young and had my hands in many different pots and that stuff. And now I just worry about myself.
That's right. Yeah,
whatever. And then we got to give a shout out to Mike and Max. We spoke with Mike.
This evening.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a great, funny conversation with Mike.
We've got to get it.
He is a squirrel, man. Oh, that he is. You look up definition of squirrel, and that's Mike, and he's a patron. He supports the podcast.
That's right. Mike from Mike and Max.
Mike from Mike and Max's podcast. You know, Max is on there occasionally, but we have yet to meet Max.
And yeah, calling him out.
How long? It's been a year and a half since we met Mike.
Well, it was SEMA 20, okay. What year, 19.
So a year and a few months.
Yeah.
That we physically met Mike, but we had talked to him previously.
Walked into a house with a total stranger.
Yep, and
it could have been an axe murderer.
It could have been.
Fortunately, it wasn't.
No, and a great guy and funny. And then we did that podcast that you got to go back to that podcast. If you are just now starting to listen to Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, do yourself a favor and go back to previous episodes. And Lorenzo's looking it up right now. It's about time you do something, Lorenzo. But this was the SEMA podcast, the shit show SEMA podcast. And actually spanned across three podcasts. So it spanned across. We did episode 2. So I think Snail Trail did 1. The first part where we were somewhat sober, and then we did the second. We aired the second section, and then Mike and Max did the third. So it was freaking hilarious. But this is back in November of 19?
19.
November 19, yeah, because we just had November 20. So, I want this year to be over with.
Yeah, I know, right?
So it's episode coming up. Lorenzo's got it.
Episode 27.
27. So it's part 2 of the Las Vegas Shit Show podcast. And it is, if you like hearing drunk people talk about four wheeling and SEMA, just give it a listen. It was pretty epic with all three podcasts involved there.
It deteriorated rapidly. Definitely do not listen to it with your children and four adults.
Jimmy was there, but Tyler was not. And then Mike was there and Max was not. But Chris and Jason were there from the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey podcast. And Georgia Boy was in the background.
Snicker. So, well, he was asleep. He was actually asleep.
No, he chimed in, though. He chimed in a few times on ours. So, anyways, yeah, just a little side tangent there. But it is fun talking with these other podcast hosts.
Oh yeah, learn our craft, sharing, and expand our craft,
and sharing and giving craft. Each other shit. So
that's exactly, it's sharing knowledge.
It's a good stuff. So, anyways, is there anything else? I did want to mention. I don't think I mentioned way back when Sherpa.
Oh, the Sherpa.
The Sherpa story. I don't think I told the Sherpa story.
I don't know. Which one?
So we were at, or I was at the Snail Trail, new Snail Trail headquarters.
Right.
Not the Snail Trail garage. So Tyler's new abode.
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 His house. Uh-huh.
And I crashed the party. I came in and then Sherpa showed up. And we talked about that on the podcast,
yeah.
But I don't think I talked about what happened. So I had, 4 bottles of high quality bourbon.
Uh-huh. That's how you roll.
Yeah. Cause I just travel with bourbon just to share. Share with people, know, and I put them out on this table, and the Sherpa came over and was caressing and fondling all these bottles.
Oh, really?
And he
molesting
took,
them?
He wasn't molesting them, but he was fondling them.
Okay.
And if I was the bottle, I would have felt very uncomfortable. And he picked up the bottle of Uncle Nearest and Butterfingers dropped it on the ground.
Oh, my God.
And this bottle, not only, it was half full, roughly half full. And it, I don't know how, but it fell off a normal size table, which is what?
3.5 feet.
Freaking 2.5, 3 feet. Off the ground. And it bounced off a concrete, the concrete garage floor. Bounced.
Wow.
Like not once, not twice, like 6 times.
What?
It was like a basketball.
And it shattered.
And I'm like, oh my God. And it didn't break.
It did not break.
Did not break.
Wow.
So I think the Sherpa has magical powers or something.
He's just touched
the bottle and very, very freaking lucky. He should have bought a lottery ticket that day.
Right.
But anyways, I've been remiss to tell that story, and I had to interject that into this this podcast here for the new year.
Is this before or after they were juggling the tennis balls?
This was before. This was before. Oh,
so he can juggle tennis balls, but he can't handle a bottle of bourbon.
No, he can't.
Wow.
He can't.
Okay.
Okay. So I know now in the future, because I always take notes, mental notes of people that handle their alcohol, don't like the alcohol, slam the alcohol, whatever. So I take
mental
notes.
Bad alcohol.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, now I know not to have any glass bottles around him. I need to hand him a plastic flask.
Well, you had the bottom shelf stuff, the well.
No. He did appreciate the quality of the alcohol. So there was no question there. I have no problem sharing good bourbon with him, but or whiskey.
The bottom shelf all comes in the plastic bottle.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Those bottles. Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's what he's used to is plastic bottles.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, obviously, we're going to hear from him on this.
Yeah, I don't know. Florida, But
do they have internet in Florida?
I think they do.
Oh.
I think they do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to,
Well, there it is.
I don't know. But anyways, so I had to throw that out there. So,
how'd that bus feel, Sherpa?
Yeah. He's a patron, too.
Yes, he is.
He's a top-tier patron.
He
so,
is.
We
he
appreciate
is.
That.
Absolutely. Sherpa. We love all of our patrons.
We do. But he, after the, he does deserve some shit coming back to him from the emails that he's written
over the last year. Dropping an expensive bottle.
We do expect another email out of this because it's been a while, Sherpa. Let's see. He hits Snail Trail on us and he calls us out on shit. So.
Yeah. I mean,
bring it.
Bring
it on.
So we got to wonder what goes on in his mind as he's typing these things.
Oh, it's pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
I'm sure.
Well,
yeah.
good in quality of ripping someone a new one.
Absolutely.
No holds bar.
No.
And I appreciate that.
Doesn't pull his punches either.
No, I appreciate that. He's very candid.
Yep, exactly. All right.
So that's episode 85. 85. And our last episode of the year, Chris.
Boom.
We've already celebrated Christmas.
Yep.
It was great.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Got everything I ever wanted.
Huge. You did. So what did you get your private jet? Did you get your yacht?
No, I mean, it's,
did you get your mansion?
It's a remote controlled private jet. Does that count?
Yeah, it all counts.
It doesn't take. It just rolls on the ground.
You know. Everybody should get a fucking prize for just making it through 2020, is my opinion.
I got a
participation award.
Oh,
I want.
No,
I'm not into.
Awards.
I'm not into participation awards, but everybody should get a fucking trophy this year.
I think we should
year.
Get a shirt. Everybody should get a shirt. I survived 2020. Well, yeah, I survived 2020.
So with that, I hope you had a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we are rolling into 2021 strong
with a pear tree.
With a, I'm gonna drop a carrot here.
Uh oh,
Justin Hall is gonna be our first interview and. 2021.
Really?
Yep. So there you go.
Boom. We're out.